Due to the extreme nature of this programme, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. Focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Pop, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska. Howdy, folks. This here's Hillbilly Willie. I want to thank you all who supported me in my run for the presidency. It's with a heavy heart I announce the campaign isn't going as well as I was hoping, and I am going to pull out as of today. But I'll be back, and I encourage you all to get informed and vote off of the information and not the misinformation spread by the media. God bless America again, please. I'm Hillbilly Willie, and you're damn right I approve this message.
Boss Fisherman, it's getting closer. Getting the tackle box and poles ready. Come in to Master Baiter's and get your supply of red wigglers, the Cadillac of worms. We just got the new honeypot lure, and once you see it, it's real hard not to want one for yourself. Whether you are new to Master Baiter's or an old pro, we can help get you there in no time at all. Be sure to check out our newest bait, the Punani. It's always moist and ready for action. So stop into Master Baiter's and ask one of our friendly staff to give you a hand. Once you try Master Baiter's, you won't be able to get enough, and we will have you coming over and over again. Like my Uncle Dick used to say, it don't matter how deep you fish, but how you wiggle your worm.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this week's episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. This week, we're going to talk about the very last day of the last millennium. We're going to talk about the Y2K scare. And so the date that we are going back to, helping in our time machine, is the year 1999, when we're going to party like it too. That year, world leaders, as always, in Russia, former Soviet Union, CPSU, Boris Yeltsin, was leader until December of 99, and then fucking Vladimir Putin. Oh, my God. I don't know how many times they've had to deal with this fucker over there. And every time he gets into power, every time he tries to bring back the KGB and communism. You cannot tell me that. Just look at his fucking track record. Fucking Putin. Here in the United States. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm here. President Bill Clinton. Yeah. Oh, I had a rough year that year. Year before wasn't bad. I really liked them cigars. Yes, President Bill Clinton. Thank you, Mr. President. We'll hear more from him later. United Kingdom, Prime Minister Tony Blair was over there in charge. And Blair was a strong ally with Clinton and King George II. So, top headlines for that year. Two boys, 17 and 18, go on a rampage, Columbine High, on 4/20/99, killing 13. And we've all heard about the Columbine killings, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. This is just kind of a brief overview. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold kept journals documenting their plan for a major bombing to rival that of Oklahoma City, with details about the planned attack on Columbine High School. Hurricane Floyd, a Category 4 storm hits the United States East Coast during September. About 3 million people evacuated their homes in anticipation of the storm, which at its peak had winds of up to 140 miles per hour. Holy fuck. So in other words, like a spring day here in Nebraska. While initial reports thought Florida would be the state that was hardest hit, North Carolina actually experienced the worst of the storm, with massive flooding affecting parts of the state. Reported death tolls related to the storm fall somewhere between 52 and 68 people. The euro is established as the new common currency in the European Union. The online peer-to-peer file sharing service, Napster, y'all remember Napster? And then that gave birth to LimeWire and all of those sharing music. But it was shut down because it was supposed to, well, they didn't like anybody sharing their music for free, is really what it boiled down to, some of the artists. And, you know, I think they should get paid. I think they should get paid because artists are, they do stuff that we can't. But, again, being a guy that had Napster and LimeWire and bit of a music pirate, I will tell you that to me, it's no different than putting it on the radio. You know, if you buy one file, I can share that movie or I can share that CD with anybody. And that's really what it boiled down to. So I'm still very controversial on that. Popular cartoon on Nickelodeon premiered. SpongeBob SquarePants. I have never been able to sit through, and I am a cartoon guy, I have never been able to sit through an entire episode of SpongeBob. I just, God, there is just something about that show just drives me nuts. And I know it's loaded with sexual innuendos. You know, Bikini Bottom, you know, Mr. Krabby, so there's crabs on the Bikini Bottom. I get all that. It's still just, yeah, not my thing. Citizens of East Timor voted on a referendum on their independence from Indonesia. Democracy is restored to Indonesia. Pakistani government is overthrown in the midst of the economic strife and intensifying fighting between Pakistan and India over Kashmir. Ford acquired Volvo. And to quote Dudley Moore's movie, Crazy People, Volvo, they're boxy but good. War erupts in Kosovo after Yugoslavia's president, Slobodan Milosevic, that's a fun name to say. Say that with me, folks. Slobodan Milosevic. See, it's kind of fun. Clamps down on the province. Serbs accelerate ethnic cleansing. Well, he was a douche. Massacring and deporting ethnic Albanians. What a fucking dick. NATO begins bombing attacks that year in March, launching airstrikes against Belgrade for 78 consecutive days until Milosevic relents. The International Criminal Tribune for the former Yugoslavia in The Hague, Netherlands, indicts Slobodan Milosevic and four others for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in Kosovo, as well they should have. Still a fun name to say. Kind of a dick. Not even kind of a dick. He is a dick. And but still, just a fun name to say. Slobodan Milosevic. New multi-party assembly in Northern Ireland meets restoring self-rule after 22 years. Okay, so the Irish, they did get their, they got their shit together. They stopped bombing everybody. They just stayed in the bars and bombed themselves. No, they just got bombed. European Union bans beef imports from the United States over the widespread use of growth hormones. And we wonder why everybody's so fucking obese over here. They pump them fucking growth hormones into everything. They really do. That's a whole nother topic for another time. I may have to do a special on that. The human population of the world surpassed 6 billion. Lance Armstrong wins his first Tour de France and then had those stripped because they found out that he was using the juice. Natural disasters galore that year. Lots of earthquakes. Two in Turkey killed 14,000. Greece killed 143. Vanuatu quake and tsunami in Taiwan killed 2,400. An F5 tornado in Oklahoma City killed 38. Mexico saw its worst floods and mudslides in 40 years. That killed 400 people. Venezuelan rains, floods, and mudslides kills approximately 25,000 and leaves 100,000 homeless. Severe blizzards take place in the Midwestern states, affecting Wisconsin and Illinois, and I remember that. Between 50 and 100 million people are left without power in the cities of Sao Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, Minas Gerais, Goiás, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Rio Grande do Sul. Sorry, I butchered all but Rio de Janeiro on that. So, sorry. West Nile first appeared here in the United States, so that's fun. Jack Kevorkian, Dr. Death, he was sentenced for the second-degree murder of Thomas Yoke. It was an assisted suicide by giving a lethal injection in a case of voluntary euthanasia. I'm okay with that. Honestly, I have witnessed people that have lost their minds. I have witnessed people who have lost control of their bodies. I have witnessed people who are in so much pain, but because of upbringing, they can't do themselves in. But but to be put on a life support machine? No, I'm totally in for that. As a matter of fact, my directive is that if I get anything pretty much more than a paper cut and I'm in the hospital, I have a DNR in place. So, hey, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I long for the relief death brings. Mattel's Barbie celebrated 40 birthdays. So, good for her. Russian President Boris Yeltsin survives impeachment hearings, and he reshuffles his cabinet twice and takes military action against Islamic separatists in Dagestan and Chechnya, and then resigns, paving the way for Putin. God, I just fucking hate Putin. I really do. John William King, 24, a white supremacist, is convicted of murder and sentenced to death in a case involving, gotta remember this, and this is just disgusting, the dragging death of a black man. I don't care whether he was black, white, Chinese, Mexican, I don't care. Dragging someone to death, dragging anything to death, is disgusting. This man who died, his name was James Byrd Jr. John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife, Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, and her sister, Lauren Bessette, are lost at sea when a plane he was piloting disappeared near Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Massachusetts. The U.S. Senate opens impeachment trial of President Clinton. The Senate acquitted President Clinton and rejects senior move. yeah, I know. I told everybody that I didn't have sex with that woman, and then I said, hey, I did have a relationship that was indeed not appropriate, but my God, have you fucking seen Hillary? A guy can only whack it so many fucking times. You know, you got this cute little honey wanting to do kinky things there in the Oval Office. Oh, yeah, I should give you guys an interview one day. thank you, Mr. President. About 48.5 million people tune in to Barbara Walters on 2020 to her interview with Monica Lewinsky. The former intern was smug, insecure, funny, and girl-like, but she did look like a million bucks. So, you know. Good for her. You know, she's outside of a few porn stars, she's really one who just made it on the idea of giving a blowjob. So good for you, Monica. Jerry Falwell. Oh, God. And he was just fucking nuts. Said Teletubby Tinky Winky and said that he was a gay role model. Jerry Falwell deducted this because Tinky Winky's purple, and that is not a fun word to say. I feel uncomfortable every time I say Tinky Winky. Because he's purple, carries a purse, and has a triangle on his forehead that he's gay. Let that sink in a moment. Fucking Falwell. Notable deaths that year. Joe DiMaggio, baseball great, but probably an even bigger hero of mine, is that he married Marilyn Monroe, so good job. John F. Kennedy Jr., I already mentioned that. Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, I already mentioned that. Stanley Kubrick, director, he passed away that year. George C. Scott, he passed away. Gene Siskel of Siskel and Ebert. If you're not sure which one, he was the skinnier of the two. Madeline Kahn. She passed away that year. That's a tough one for me because Madeline was in so many Mel Brooks movies. And any interview you saw, she just was a genuinely nice person. Filthy mouth, but just what you saw is what she was. So... Star Trek great, DeForest Kelly, Dr. Leonard McCoy, Bones, as a lot of you may know. He passed away in 99. Dana Plato from Different Strokes. Unfortunately, she took her own life. Hoyt Axton, he was a singer. Wilt Chamberlain, basketball player. Gene Rayburn of Match Game. Gene Shepard. Now, you may not know the name, but Gene Shepard was not only the writer, but also the narrator for A Christmas Story with Ralphie. And then singing great Dusty Springfield passed away. Average cost of living in 1999, average cost of a new house, $131,000. Average income, $40,000. Average monthly rent, $645. Gallon of gas, $1.22. Average cost of a new car, $21,000. Postage stamp, 33 cents. Pound of bacon, $2.59. Damn. Pound of coffee, $3.41. Damn. That was kind of high, actually, for back then. Loaf of bread, $1.49. And a dozen eggs, 89 cents. And that, as I have commented before, is super damn cheap because right now, eggs are like, I don't know, what is it, like $47 for a fucking dozen right now? And that's of the small ones. And I don't even know what excuse they're trying to use this year. So, in the music store, top five songs in the U.S., it is Where My Girl's At by 702. Can't say I even know that song. Slide by the Goo Goo Dolls. Those words all sounded like English, but I have no idea what they fucking meant. No Scrubs by TLC, like that song. Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer. I don't know why, they sound like if Shelley Duvall sang a song. I don't know why. That's just what I've always pictured. And Britney was out there, Baby One More Time. Top five songs on the R&B chart. You Know What's Up by Donnell Jones. Hot Boys, spelled with a Z, by Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, featuring Nas, Eve, and Q-Tip. What the fuck? Oh, God, I am so old. Yeah. 24/7 by Kevin Edmonds. Back at One by Brian McKnight. Love that song. Say My Name by Destiny's Child before Beyonce decided to cut them, the rest of the band, loose. Top five songs on the country chart. Oh, God. Breathe by Faith Hill. I still blame Faith Hill and Tim McGraw for the downfall of country music. They're the ones that put way too much pop in it. And I'll be more than happy to have an open debate on this. Hate them both. And it's just pure luck that they're married to each other. And Tim McGraw had the song out there where I don't want too much pop in my country, or they put too much pop in my country, however the fucking line goes. And I'm like, you fucking did it. You fucking did it. So there's one of my little rants. He Didn't Have to Be by Brad Paisley. And that is a great song. Brad was just getting his career off the ground at this time. And it was a song about a stepfather who actually turned out to be a step-up father. So I think that's pretty fucking cool. When I Said I Do by Clint Black, my number three. Pop a Top by Ellen Jackson. That was a cover song by Jim Ed Brown. So that's cool. That came out like in the late 50s, early 60s. And How Do You Like Me Now by the recently deceased Toby Keith. We're going to miss you, Toby. One Hit Wonders for that year. Steal My Sunshine by Len. Like that song. A Little Bit of Mambo Number 5 by Lou Bega. That song got overplayed. I liked it when it was out, and then it's just one of those I can't. So, She's So High by Tal Bachman, Blue Dobby D by Eiffel 65, I'm Blue Dobby D da ba da 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 da. Fucking techno. God, I hate techno. Hate techno. We Like to Party by the Venga Boys. And I think that song was used by Six Flags in a girl dressed up as an elderly man doing all kinds of funky dances. So there's that. On the Crime Beat, 1999, saw the 1999 Loomis truck robbery. And what this was, it was a daring currency heist of a Loomis Fargo and Company tractor trailer truck on March 24th, 1999. By the way, this is still unsolved. Get this. At some point during its route, transporting money from Sacramento to San Francisco, one or more robbers boarded the truck, the trailer, cut a hole in the roof. The hole was described as, quote, it had very jagged edges with the edges pointed down into the truck. It was not a very cleanly cut hole. And they removed approximately $2.3 million, roughly 270 pounds of cash, and disappeared with the money, completely evading detection by the truck drivers and the guards. The robbery was not even discovered until after the truck had arrived at its destination. No suspects were ever identified by the authorities, and the theft is now a cold case. Even the exact tools and methods by the robbers or robber were never conclusively determined. Fuck, it could have been a can opener. Who knows? But I think that takes fucking nuts. I mean, balls the size of church bells, because fuck, if you're going to somehow get on top of the truck, so you have to kind of think that it's, I don't know, maybe they used a hand glider, maybe a, you know, like a parachute, because you'd hear a helicopter. Maybe they were on top of it when they left their destination. I don't know. And then to cut a hole, go in, and be able to extract $2.3 million, basically 270 pounds of cash, without being detected? Size of church bells. That's all there is to it. That guy could never find pants because his nuts would be too fucking big. That's just, wow. It's kind of admirable, to be honest with you, if you set yourself into a criminal mindset. So, in the movie theater, 1999, saw These Great Hits and Some Not So Great. 10 Things I Hate About You, Sixth Sense, because we still see dead people. The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp, 8mm, that was a fucked up movie with Nicolas Cage. American Beauty, oh, I hated that fucking movie. Pedophile all the fucking way. And Kevin Spacey, now that he's been charged or accused of being a pedophile back with some of these fellow actors and actresses, yeah, it just makes it even more disgusting. American Pie, Analyze This, any given Saturday, being John Malkovich, Bicentennial Man, Big Daddy, Cider House Rules, Double Jeopardy, Dudley Do-Right. That was an Emmy Award winner from Brendan Fraser. Election, End of Days, Galaxy Quest, the poor man's version of Star Trek, Girl Interrupted, The Green Mile, because we were walking the Green Mile that year, House on Haunted Hill, Inspector Gadget, Lake Placid, Man on the Moon, The Mummy, Monkey Bone, Mystery Men, Never Been Kissed, oh God, and one of the fucking, hate, hate this movie, hate it. Yeah, this is top 10 hate on this movie, fucking Office Space. And I had one of my ex-wives that just loved that fucking movie. Yeah, I would rather beat myself in the head with a brick than ever watch that movie ever again, or even think about that movie again. She's All That, South Park movie, that was inappropriate. Stigmata, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, Stuart Little, Summer of Sam, The Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan, Varsity Blues, and The Wild Wild West with Will Smith. On TV, we were flipping through the channels, watching The Amanda Show, Angel, that was the knockoff of Buffy, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Batman Beyond, Blind Date, that was a TV game show, that was horrible, Cold Case Files, Courage the Cowardly Dog, I kind of liked that one, The Dating Story, Divorce Court, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Family Feud made its comeback, Family Guy, hate that show, Freaks and Geeks, I like that, Happy Tree Friends, I'll tell you what, if you ever want to see an inappropriate fucking cartoon, watch that, there's no sex in it, no sex, so don't think that, but there is fucking mayhem left and right, and I'm twisted enough, I liked it. Judging Amy. Law and Order Special Victims Units. God, how long has Law and Order been around? God dang, it just seems like maybe they started in like the 80s, and every time one starts to drift off, they just stick another cop show out there and call it Law and Order Special, you know, Shoplifting Unit. The Lost World. The Man Show. I don't know how I feel about that one. The Parkers. Pain. The PJs, Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, Providence, The Queen Latifah Show, Roswell, The Sopranos. And, you know, I've never made it all the way through the entire series of that. I have watched it, and I like it. I don't know why. I just kind of drift off every now and then. Third Watch, loved that TV show. You can find that on Roku. And it's still just as good. It really is. It hits home when they do the 9/11 stuff. So, Undressed, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Everybody remembers that. So, and today's topic, the Y2K problem. So, stick around after these words from my fake sponsors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Schlitt-Faced Beer. It'll fuck you up, guaranteed.
Had the best, now try what's left. Schlitt-faced beer. Our beer doesn't even claim to taste good, however, if you are strapped for cash and you need a beer or two that you can afford while still wanting to get so fucked up that bad decisions are a given, then pick up a can or two of Schlitt-faced. At 47.3% alcohol, it's guaranteed to fuck you up. It might taste really funky, but who really drinks beer for the taste anyway? You drink it to get wrecked. When you say Schlitt-faced, that pretty much says it all. Schlitt-faced warns, with this high level of alcohol, do not consume more than 2 in a 60-minute time frame. Drinking Schlitt-faced may result in blindness, erectile dysfunction, and possible anal leakage.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
All right, welcome back from that break. We are going to be talking about the Y2K scare. It was also referred to as the Millennium Bug, the glitch, the error, and it all refers to potential computer errors related to the formatting and storage of calendar data for dates in and after the year 2000. And I remember that because there was, oh, fuck, you can't, you know, planes are going to be dropping out of the sky and that type of shit. So many programs represented four-digit years with only the final two digits, making the year 2000 indistinguishable from 1900. Computer systems' inability to distinguish dates correctly had the potential to bring down the worldwide infrastructure for computer-reliant industries. Pretty much everybody. In the years leading up to the turn of the millennium, the public gradually became aware of the Y2K scare, and individual companies predicted that the global damage caused by the bug would require anything between $400 million and $600 billion to fix. The lack of clarity regarding the potential dangers of the bug led to some people, myself included, to stock up on food, water, firearms. They purchased backup generators, and a lot of people withdrew large sums of money. That was not a problem for me because I've never had large sums of money in anticipation of a computer-induced apocalypse. Contrary to published expectations, very few major errors occurred in 2000. Supporters of the Y2K remediation effort argued that, well, it was because that they had that preemptive strike that many computer programmers and information technology experts had in place. But not all had checked, fixed, and upgraded their computer systems to address this problem. Companies and organizations in some countries had not even checked, fixed, or upgraded their computer systems to address the problem. Then U.S. President Bill Clinton, oh, I knew I was going to show up in this one, oh, yeah, who organized efforts to minimize the damage in the United States, labeled Y2K as, oh, this is the first challenge of the 21st century, and I got to say, we met it successfully. And retrospects on the event typically commend the programmers who worked to avert the anticipated disaster. Critics argue that even in countries where very little had been done to fix the software problems, those problems were minimal. The same was true in sectors such as schools, small business, where compliance with Y2K policies was patchy at best. In late 1998, Commonwealth Edison reported a computer upgrade intended to prevent the glitch, and it caused them to send the village of Oswego, Illinois, an erroneous electric bill for $7 million. So in other words, a lot like our gas bill this last winter. On January 1st, 2000, taxi meters in Singapore stopped working, while in Sweden, incorrect taxi fares were given. At midnight, January 1st, 2000, at three airports in Sweden, computers that police used to generate temporary passports stopped working. On February 1999, while testing a Y2K compliance and a computer monitoring nuclear core rods at Peach Bottom Nuclear Generating Station in Pennsylvania, instead of resetting on time on the external computer meant to simulate the data rollover, but that turned out to be a technician's issue, the technician accidentally changed the time on the operating system, and the computer had not been upgraded. It took approximately 7 hours to restore all normal functions, during which time workers had to use an obsolete manual equipment control. In November 99, approximately 500 residents in Philadelphia received jury duty summons for the year 1900. In December 99, in the United Kingdom, a software upgrade intended to make computers Y2K compliant prevented social services in Bedfordshire from finding if anyone in their care was over 100 years old, since computers failed to recognize the dates of birth being searched. In late December 1999, Telecom Italia, Italy's largest telecom company, sent a bill for January and February 1900. The company stated that this was a one-time error and it had recently ensured its systems would be compatible with the year rollover. On the 28th of December, 10,000 card swipe machines issued by HSBC and manufactured by Raquel stopped processing credit and debit card transactions. This was limited to the machines in the UK and was the result of the machines being designed to ensure transactions had been completed within 4 business days. From the 28th to the 31st of December, they interpreted the future dates that they would be in the year 1900. Stores with these machines relied on paper transactions until they started working again on January 1st. And there's all kinds of different stuff like this. December 31st at 7 p.m., a direct result of a patch intended to prevent it at a ground control station in Fort Belvoir, Virginia, crashed and ceased processing information from 5 spy satellites, including the KH-11 satellite. The military implemented a contingency plan within 3 hours, which diverted their feeds and manually decoded the scrambled information. Well, hallelujah for that. On January 1st, there was minor issues. Like in Australia, bus ticket validation machines in 2 states failed to operate. In Japan, 13 machines in 13 train stations stopped dispensing tickets for a short time. Also in Japan, the Shika nuclear power plant reported that radiation monitoring equipment failed at a few seconds after midnight. Officials said there was no risk to the public and no excess radiation was found at the planet. Because one thing we've learned, kids, especially from Chernobyl, nobody's ever going to lie to you about issues at a nuclear plant. Just keep that in mind. The government's always out for your best interest. 2 minutes after midnight, the telecommunications carrier Osaka Media Port found date management mistakes in their network. A spokesman said that they had resolved the issue by 2:43 and it did not interfere with operations. In South Korea, Ondol heating systems and air and water heating failed at an apartment building near Seoul. The system was down for 19 hours. 2 hospitals in South Korea reported malfunctions with equipment measuring bone marrow. Now, that one there is a little bit, if the guy's, and they suck him dry, oops. So, with one accidental registering a newborn as having been born in 1900 and 4 people in the city of whatever, because I can't pronounce Korean stuff, received medical bills with dates of 1900. A video store in South Korea accidentally generated a late fee, approximately $8 million, because the store's computer determined that a tape rental was over 100 years overdue. So that's wild. In Hong Kong, police breathalyzers failed after midnight. So that's not a bad thing. In China, taxi meters failed at midnight. In Egypt, 3 dialysis machines briefly failed. 3. In all of Egypt. In Greece, approximately 30,000 cash registers, amounting to around 10% of the country's total, printed receipts with the dates 1900. In Denmark, the first baby born on January 1st was recorded as being 100 years old. In France, the National Weather Forecasting Service said a Y2K bug made the date on the webpage show a map with Saturday's weather forecast as 01-01-19-100. Wow. In Germany, a bank accidentally transferred 12 million Deutschmarks, equivalent to about $6.2 million, to a customer and presented a statement with the date of December 30th, 1899. The bank quickly fixed the incorrect transfer. Can you imagine? You're sitting there, and it's been between paydays, and you're sitting there going, God dang. Man, I got to see what the fuck I got in my bank. I mean, I got to get gas. And all of a sudden, you pull up your debit card, you put it in, it says, you know, account balance, 12 million Deutschmarks. Fuck me, I'm going to hit every goddamn ATM that I can within the period of time. Wow. I know that they would come back after you, but, you know, hey, it'd be fun for a little while. In Italy, courthouse computers in Venice and Naples showed an upcoming release date for some prisoners as January 10th, 1900, while other inmates wrongly showed up as having an additional 100 years added to their sentence. In Norway, a daycare center for kindergartners in Oslo offered a spot to a 105-year-old woman because the citizen's registry only showed the last two digits of the citizen's year of birth. Wow. In Spain, a worker received a notice for an industrial tribunal, which was listed as the date in 1900. In Sweden, the main hospital, the hospital in Lund, and two regional hospitals, I'm not even going to try to pronounce those names, reported that machines used for reading electrocardiogram information failed to operate, although the hospital stated it had no effect on patient health. So it was a worldwide thing. But here in good old U.S., here's what we had to contend with. And there was a few things. So the U.S. Naval Observatory, which runs the master clock that keeps the country's official time, gave the date on the website as January 1st, 1900. Okay. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives could not register new firearms dealers for 5 days because their computers failed to recognize the dates on the application. 105 Delaware lottery machines stopped working. In New York, a video store generated a late fee of $91,000 because it determined that the tape was overdue. In Tennessee, the Y-12 National Security Complex stated that a Y-2 glitch caused an unspecified malfunction in a system for determining the weight and composition of nuclear substances. Although the United States Department of Energy stated that they were still able to track all of the material, it was resolved within 3 hours. No one at the plant was injured, and the plant continued carrying out its normal functions. In Chicago, for one day, the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank could not transfer $700,000 from tax revenue. The problem was fixed the following day. Well, fuck yeah. You know, you got a problem with it. It's going to take you, oh, I don't know, 6 months. But if the feds say, oh, we got a problem, yeah, it's fucking fixed immediately. Additionally, another bank in Chicago could not handle electronic Medicare payments until January 6th, during which time the bank had to rely on sending processed claims on floppy disks. Wow. In New Mexico, DMV was temporarily unable to issue new driver's license. The campaign website for the United States presidential candidate Al Gore gave the date as January 3rd, 1900. Godiva Chocolater reported that cash registers in its American outlets failed to operate. They first became aware and determined the source of the problem on January 2nd and restored all of its functions so that everybody could get their Godiva chocolate. Credit card companies such as MasterCard and Visa reported that as a direct result of the Y2K glitch, for weeks after the rollover, a small percent of customers were being charged multiple times for transactions. And Bill Gates, well, he said he was going to keep us all safe. And Microsoft reported that after the year rolled over, Hotmail emails sent in October 99 or earlier had been showing up as being sent in 2099. Although this did not affect the email's contents or the ability to send and receive emails. I'm sure a bunch of those were Hillary Clinton's, which she finally deleted. So the Y2K, that's the scientific shit behind it and the problems we had to deal with. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about my experience on New Year's Eve and how big of a letdown it was. So stick around.
This portion of the show is brought to you by GXO Tour and Travel, booking trips to areas that aren't as bad as what you've heard.
Welcome to Arkansas, where visitors can enjoy water sports like kayaking, canoeing, and floating on the White River. Not only are the water sports spectacular, the fishing is world-class. Whether looking to land striper, trout, walleye, the waters in the mountain home area are always stocked. Come take time to relax and enjoy what we have to offer and to be part of our down-home family and see we ain't all backwards-ass country fucks. To book your trip to Arkansas, contact Ben Dover or Andy Kornholder, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Welcome back from that break. Okay, so January 31st, 1999. It was a weird time for me because it was the time of me just going through my first divorce. And I was invited to a New Year's Eve party about, oh, I don't know, what was it, about 100 miles away. And I drove down there. And, you know, they had the music playing and, you know, everybody counted down to midnight and you expected all the lights to go off. Nothing. Everything was normal. So on the way home, I'm expecting, you know, traffic lights are going to be out. You know, I'm going to see planes falling out of the sky. Nothing. Nothing. Not even a good car accident. Nothing. So it was kind of a letdown for people like me. And then I had all of this. I had all of this food and water that I had to do something with. And so, yeah, sometimes you just preparing for the worst is okay. But then when it doesn't go sideways, you kind of look like a fool. At least I did. I want to thank you guys for joining me on this, the Y2K episode. And I really just want to wish you guys a safe, healthy, and happy week. Have a good one.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Popeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like, and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.